So now we're going to continue with Shir 29 with a discussion of Meiser. There are three types of Meiser. There's Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni, and Meiser Ani. So we'll begin with the first one, Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon, as its name implies, is the first tithe that is given. And it's given from Yisrael to a Levi. Now, just as an aside, the word tithe, according to the dictionary, comes from the Old English word tiagotha, which means a tenth. So coming back to our topic, the Levium worked in the Mikdash together with the Kohanim, and both of whom we know come from the same Shevet. And there, the Levium guard the Torah. In the desert, when the people were worshipping the golden calf, so Moshe Rabbeinu called out, Mila Hashem Elai, and it was the Levium who responded. So this duty to guard the Torah is ingrained in the Levium. Now the Levi, in turn, gives one-tenth of what he receives to the Kohen, and this is called Trumas Maaser, or Maaser Min HaMaaser. Now, Trumas Maaser has the status of Truma, in that it is holy, and it has the halachos of Truma Gedola. It could only be eaten by a Kohen when he is Tahar. Now, before a Levi separates Trumas Maaser, he's not allowed to eat his portion, the Maaser Rishon, that he received from the Yisrael. So that takes care of Maaser Rishon. So let's move now to Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is taken by its owner to Yerushalayim, where it is eaten. Now, if Yerushalayim is too far away, the owner has the right to convert the food to money and add a fifth to its value, and then when he gets to Yerushalayim, he purchases food with this money, and he has to eat it. That's the halacha. He must eat it. Now, this tithe applies in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, and we will discuss the Shemitah cycle later. Meiser Sheni has the status of kachim, and it's mamon gavoa, which means that it's considered property that's dedicated to Hashem. Due to the fact that, in a way, it doesn't belong to him, the owner has limited rights to his Meiser Sheni. So he's not allowed to sell it, he can't trade it, he can't give it away. So let's turn now to Meiser Ani, before we get back to the philosophical ideas behind Meiser Sheni. Meiser Ani is the tithe for poor individuals. So who's included in this category? We have the Levium, because they don't have a share in the land. We have the stranger, known in the Torah as the ger. We have the orphan, known in the Torah as the yasom. And a person who is widow. And of course, as unusually means, any person who's actually poor. The Torah tells us in Devarim 14:29 that when you give Meiser Ani, the result is L'ma'an yivarechecha Hashem alokacha b'chol ma'aseh yadecha asher ta'aseh, that Hashem will bless us in all the work of our hands. Now, if a person is unable to distribute the actual Meiser tithe, the Meiser Ani, so it's placed in a special location from where it is distributed. Now, this tithe is in place of Meiser Sheni, and is done in the third and sixth years of the Shemitah cycle. In other words, the years we don't have Meiser Sheni, we have Meiser Ani. Darren Grunfeld sums up the various types of Meiser by saying that Truma Gedola, Meiser Sheni, and Trumas Meiser all deal with the spiritual side of life, while Meiser Ani deals with the social aspect of life. We see that through the Shemitah cycle, the religious and social aspects of our lives become united together. And this idea is expressed in Yeshaya chapter 58, which we lean on Yom Kippur, so go check out this Haftorah, and you'll see some of these ideas. And the main underlying idea in terms of Yom Kippur is that we do not have tshuva between Hashem and man unless we do teshuva between man and man. So this brings us to our final discussion, which is, what is the philosophical understanding of Meiser Sheni? We already discussed Truma, and the idea of Meiser Rishon is similar to Truma. Both the Kohen and Levi serve in the Mikdash and the Torah that it represents. Meiser Rishon teaches that our wealth should be used properly to further our spiritual lives and by supporting those that safeguard this type of life for us. Maaser Ani heightens our social responsibilities in caring for others. So in terms of Maaser Sheni, it's difficult to see how eating one's own food, even in a holy place, could signify or impart any special ideas to the one who's eating this food. However, if we examine the psukim that surround Maaser Sheni, we can get a clearer understanding of the purpose of the mitzvah. In Devarim 14:23, the Torah tells us, "V'yachalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha ba'makom asher yivchar l'shakin shemo sham, ma'aser deganecha tiroshecha v'yitzarecha, uvcharos bekarecha v'tzonecha, l'man tilmad liyiras Hashem Elokecha kol hayomim," which translates as, "You should eat before Hashem your God, in the place that He shall choose to rest His name. You eat tithes of grain, wine, and oil, and the firstborn of your cattle and sheep, in order that you learn to always fear Hashem your God." How does eating before Hashem cause us to constantly fear Him? Judaism, as we know, seeks to raise man up in his entire life, his whole existence. Included in this is, of course, eating. In Judaism, we do not believe that we elevate our so-called spiritual side and ignore our physical side. This does not resolve the tension that exists between the body and the soul. The first essential idea that one needs to understand is that through sanctifying the physical in the manner prescribed by the Torah, it is to ennoble our earthly and sensual needs by subjecting them to God's Torah, to the divine moral code. So in Judaism, we seek to satisfy our natural desires in a Torah godly manner. Man's soul, without his physical body, is not a man. We are one being. We are man, consisting of a body and consisting of a soul. Davening to God, as essential as that is for our relationship to Hashem, is not the highest or the most difficult activity that we do. Eating in Hashem's presence, which represents raising our physical desires, our sensual pleasures, and the mundane to a level of sanctification, is a much more difficult task. And this is what Maaser Sheni represents. The material possessions, wealth, the soil and its produce, the human body, are all used to serve God. I need to take my food and move it to this holy location from where I eat it. This mitzvah is designed to remove that tension that exists between the body and the soul. Grain, wine, and oil, these are all foods that are staples in Eretz Yisrael, and they're eaten in Hashem's holy city in His presence, and are now, in and of themselves, they become a religious function. Some people use food solely for physical pleasure, for material gain, or for other similar types of uses. Some people use food to serve God and to perform acts of chesed. In Judaism, there's a place, certainly, to enjoy food. And there's a place, of course, for material gain. But these only have true meaning if the goal is to serve God and to serve one's neighbor. The type of person who uses his physical means to serve Hashem and to perform chesed, that's the type of person who is truly alive. And the end of the chapter I'm going to read out directly from Diane Grunfeld. He writes, "True fear of God and true joy of life belong together. The sanctification of the life of the senses, which is as remote from their mortification as it is from their dissipation, is the cornerstone of Jewish law. Only he who has grasped this can honestly pronounce the so-called Vidui Maaser, the solemn declaration made by the Jewish pilgrims in Jerusalem during the festivals in connection with Maaser Sheni." And here's the pasuk: "I have rejoiced and made others to rejoice. Therein lies the chief lesson of Maaser Sheni for the life of the Jew." This concludes Shir 29 on Maaser, and next time we will discuss mitzvos ha'tluyos ba'aretz and their applicability today.